Welcome to Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood,
a podcast sponsored by California Rainbow,
a nonprofit service organization for girls ages 8 to 20.
These young leaders learn the importance of serving others
and gain lifelong sisters.
Learn more at gocarainbow.org.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood, a podcast for teens by teens, where we discuss topics that matter to us. And we're members of California IORG, a leadership and service organization for girls ages 11 to 20. In today's episode, we'll be talking about growing through failure and some ways that you can turn your negatives into positives. We're joined today by fellow members of California Rainbow.
My name is Andrea Hope, and I am a part of Vacaville Assembly and a member of the state PR team.
Hi, I'm Ella. I'm from Fidelity Assembly, and I'm a former member of the PR team.
Hi, I'm Bella. I'm Grand Choir Director, and I'm from Rosal Dreamer Assembly.
And hi, I am Lauren. I am a past Grand Choir Director, just like Bella, and I am from San Jose Assembly.
I'm Ashley, and I'm from Vacaville Assembly. I'm also a member of the state PR and membership team for California Rainbow. Welcome, everyone.
Hello!
Let's get to it. So the first question we have is, what is a failure that you've experienced that has really stuck with you?
A failure that I experienced was the first time I ran the mile for track. I came in almost last place, and all I got was a participation award.
So probably the biggest failure that I've experienced was during COVID, and it was with my time management skills when school became like virtual and in person. And I kind of just decided like, oh, it's on my computer, I can just shut the lid and wait till the last minute to do my assignments. And those 11:59 deadlines definitely crept up on me a lot faster than I thought they would. And I think I just definitely learned how I work and how I prioritize and different learning strategies that I can use to better my learning, I guess.
One failure that I've experienced that stuck with me is when I was in high school, I was an IB diploma student, and I actually got an F in IB math for both years. I'm just not a math person, so I've always struggled with it, but that has definitely stuck with me through the years.
I'd say a failure that I experienced that has really stuck with me is I had a friend in high school who I'd known her for quite some time, and she ended up going through some extreme mental health struggles. And I always felt, and I still do, that I never really did enough to check in on her and help her. She's all right now, I mean, more or less, but I feel that I had an opportunity to really help her, and I didn't take it. And that is something that I find I'm still trying to make up for.
So our second question, using the answer to the question that you just answered, what were you thinking, feeling, or doing that contributed to this outcome?
So after the race, I was thinking, why was I so slow? Because I had always been really fast. I'd always been a really strong runner, and I still am. And I was very much too hard on myself, because that was the first time I'd ever run a mile. And before then, I was mainly a short distance runner. So instead of thinking immediately how I can improve on my long distance running, I was just automatically beating myself up really hard on myself. And I didn't even let myself think about the high placings that I got in other ones. And I didn't even let my mom try to congratulate me on finishing the race, because I was basically feeling, what's the point of finishing if I didn't win?
So leading up to this failure, I guess, I had always like been in in-person school. And so I always had that deadline of going to class and knowing that I had to turn it in. But when it was online, I kind of just brushed it on the rug. I was like, I don't actually have to see these people. Like, the accountability wasn't quite there. And I acknowledged that and kind of took advantage of it a little bit. But then when we went back half in person, I kind of learned that I really had to set my own deadlines and set my own guidelines and expectations for myself. Because when I wasn't seeing the teachers all the time, I wasn't necessarily always seeking out to like please the teacher and get that good grade. I was kind of just going through the motions. So setting those expectations for myself really helped me push myself farther and farther, so that way I could achieve the goals that I always wanted.
When I was in this math class, I'm always somebody that has struggled with math. It's not my best subject. So I knew going in that it was going to be difficult. But kind of once it started getting really hard and I started falling behind, I didn't reach out to the teacher for help like I should have because I was embarrassed to need the extra help. And then during the second year of the class, I actually had surgery and didn't go to school for 2 weeks. And I just kind of used that as my excuse to not catch up and stay behind. So that was definitely on me that I didn't take the initiative to try to catch up as I should have. But yeah, not my finest time.
I'd say definitely one of the biggest things that contributed to this failure in my life is first year in high school, new place, new school, new people that I didn't know. And I was trying to find my place in this new environment. And unfortunately, that meant that the friends that I'd made in middle school, I didn't really check in as much with. I would occasionally reach out to this one friend in particular and ask her how she was doing. But I never really, it's harsh to say, but I don't think I really cared because I was trying so hard to be at home in this new place that I felt that I had to put aside everything I had at this old school. So, yeah.
Third question that we have for you ladies is, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently or what would you do better?
So for me, I actually did do this over again. After about a week, I decided I'm not going to come in next to last. Next time I do this run, I'm going to start running more every day, longer distances, and really make sure that I can run fast for a longer amount of time. So I worked for it. This was a while ago. This is when I only had one meet a year because it was a very small school district. So I worked as hard as I could. I pushed myself as hard as I could. And I actually pushed myself a little too hard because I ended up the week before my meet, I sprained my ankle. And so I was in a brace for the run. The only time that I was on it was to practice after school. And I was in the nurse's office every hour or so icing it. And I was making sure that I wasn't pushing too hard. And on the day of the meet, I gave it my all. The mile was my last run that I had to do. So I was in a lot of pain, but I pushed through it and I placed. I came in, I think, fourth, and I was really happy, you know, except for the fact that there were people that were faster than me. I'm not going to be able to come in first, but I placed. I did my best. And I accepted the fact that that's all that I can ask for. And I let myself celebrate my other wins because I also ended up placing first in a couple other events because I had worked so hard on this one event.
So this might be an interesting take, but actually, if I could do it over again, I would probably do the exact same thing, to be completely honest. Because looking back, it really did teach me a lot about myself and my studying habits and honestly, just my habits as a person. And I feel like if I didn't have this setback, I wouldn't necessarily have pushed myself to grow as a person and set a routine. And I really do think that setbacks can help you frame yourself in a much better way for the future. And just because you mess something up one time doesn't necessarily mean that it's like the worst thing that could ever happen ever. Usually you make changes and you move forward and you better yourself as a person because of those setbacks. So honestly, I wouldn't change anything at all because it put me where I am today.
Wow. If I had to take Ivy Math over again, I would definitely not let myself be embarrassed about needing help because I knew going into the class that it wasn't my best subject. So I would definitely try to ask the teacher for more help or like even my friends who were in the class and kind of knew what was going on. I would reach out for help from just anybody at that point. But I think ultimately, like Ella said, like I think I wouldn't change too much because even though it was a failure, I think it did help me get to where I am today. So even with that minor setback, I think that it was still important for me to go through it, but definitely being more like taking the initiative, I guess, and just being more responsible about not letting myself fall behind and taking more accountability.
Well, there's so many things I wish that if I could go back, I wish that I could change. You know, it's definitely not my proudest moment as a person. The neglect that I feel that I showed to this friend of mine. But in a way, that experience really taught me the importance of the people that are close to you in your life. You know, like up until I really got heavily involved in Rainbow, I wasn't really happy with the person I was, but it was the teachings of Rainbow that have led me to reflect on this experience, to now know that, yeah, I wish I hadn't done it, but I am not going to do it again. That is for sure.
Our next question is, are you holding on to any guilt or shame about this failure?
I personally am not holding on to any guilt about this or shame anymore, but I was really, really upset with myself when it first happened, because I sort of had this mindset that if I wasn't the best, then anything that I did didn't matter. If I didn't get 100% on a test, I basically failed it. So it took a lot of really, really trying to think another way to accept the fact that my best is my best and someone else's best does not affect my best. And that's all I can do. So I had a lot of like guilt and shame about it for the entire time that I was training. And then afterwards, when I did better, even though I didn't get first, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to be upset about this. I did better than the last time. And I'm still sort of struggling with that mindset, but it's definitely gotten better since that track meet.
I would say that I don't really hold on to any guilt or shame from my freshman year of high school, but I would say that I kind of look back at it a lot sometimes when I'll be doing schoolwork, and sometimes I'll find myself slowly falling back into those habits a little bit. I kind of look back at it and it kind of helps me shift my mindset from, you know what happened last time, come on, like you can't do that again. And it just kind of helps me reframe my thought process. And so I don't really attach any guilt or shame to it, because we're all people, we're all humans, we're not perfect, we make mistakes. You know, I wouldn't say I feel guilty about it or shameful, but I definitely do look back at it sometimes to shift my mindset.
I think for me, around the time that it was happening, I definitely had a lot of guilt and shame surrounding it, especially around IB exam season, when a lot of people that I knew were passing the test and doing really well, and I was the complete opposite, where I was completely failing it. I definitely held a lot of shame about it. But now that I've gotten some distance from it, I try not to feel embarrassed about it or anything like that. And I just try to use it as motivation to do better the next time that I'm in a math class or just any class or something that I find difficult. I try to use it as like motivation for that.
I do still feel some guilt over how that whole thing went down, but I don't view it as a negative as much anymore. It's more so a reminder of how far I've come and the knowledge that I have improved as a person since then. And, you know, I've repaired my relationship with this friend. We were closer than ever, you know, following it, because I took the time to reach out and apologize for what I had done. So yeah, I still have guilt, but that guilt is just a reflection of how much I've improved.
So this next question, I think some of you already kind of answered it with your answers to the last one, but what are some insights of wisdom that you can take away from this experience, or even that you could share with someone that might be going through something similar?
I think that I kind of answered this, but I'm gonna elaborate more on it. Some advice, I guess, is always remember that if you gave it your 100%, it doesn't matter if you got 100% or like 20%, because that 20% is your best and you might not be happy with it. And it's okay to not be happy with the outcome of something as long as you don't let it drag you down. And you just decide that instead of saying, oh, I am a failure, I can't do anything right, then this is proof of it, I can't do this yet. A very, very amazing teacher taught me the power of yet, and it has stuck with me forever. Instead of saying, I can't do this, I can't do this yet, and I will do better next time.
So similar to what Andy said, I think a growth mindset is always really important when you're looking back and going through hard things and you just think, oh, I can't do it. But also, I think a lot of times we find ourselves just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, and we're afraid to try something new just because we're afraid that we're going to mess it up and we're going to fail. And honestly, a lot of the times we do end up messing it up and failing, but that's okay. And I think the more important thing is that you should be afraid of not having the chance to ever do that again. You know, like when you live life in the moment and you realize all the little opportunities you have, like it really does shift your mindset. Like a lot of the times you think, oh, I messed up. But when you really think about it, you got the opportunity to mess up. You got the opportunity to learn from that. And honestly, a quote from one of my favorite movies, Cars, it's don't fear failure, be afraid of not having the chance. You have that chance. And I really just think it's important to think of everything as a privilege and an opportunity that you get to have that to mess up.
For me, definitely knowing how I function as a student and being able to take that into all of my other classes, but also in a broader sense, just that failure feels like it's the end of the world when it's happening to you and you're experiencing it. And it feels like everything in your life is going to get affected by this one little thing. But looking back on my experience with like the math class and everything, it's realistically such a small portion of my life. And it was so insignificant in the long run. Like I still ended up where I wanted to be, like post high school graduation. And I love where I'm at now. And it really didn't affect anything that much. So just knowing that, even though it can feel like the end of the world or the biggest thing in your life at the time, it really is just something small in the moment, in the broad scheme of things. And just remembering that growth is everything and it's going to help you in the long run.
Reconnecting with my friend and talking through what I felt was an extreme failure that I would never be able to be forgiven for. She told me that she knew that I was also struggling at the same time that she was going through all of this. And I still remember this. This is what she said to me. And she's like, I can't believe that you feel that you have failed me when you finally put yourself first. But, you know, like I felt that wasn't the case. But even still, what she said has really stuck with me because I came back to her. We worked things out. I apologized for what I felt I had done wrong to her. But still, she told me that putting myself first shouldn't feel like a failure. Just something to remember. Don't feel like you're failing at something if you're finally choosing you. What if we just pull an Uno reverse and Ashley, your turn. Answer all the questions.
Oh my gosh. No. Yeah, oh, Ashley. No. What is a failure you've experienced that has stuck with you?
Okay. Mine is kind of during like the start of COVID, specifically like right before at school. And then throughout COVID, it kind of like progressed, I guess. I kept like doubting myself and I kept putting myself down and I kept thinking like, oh, like you're being weird. I wanted to follow the crowd. I don't know how else to say it beside that. Like I didn't be myself. I was following what other people wanted me to be. And at school, I would like join cliques because that clique was considered like cool and stuff. And I'd do things that were considered cool that wasn't me. And so it was kind of like I wasn't being true to myself or to others. So it was really weighing me down. And one of the questions was if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? I wouldn't do anything different because kind of like others said, it taught me how to be myself and it taught me to not be embarrassed or really ashamed of who I am. It taught me that I can make my own friends being myself and having my own personality. So I wouldn't change anything if I got the chance because in the end, I had to go through COVID realizing like I have to be myself now. Like I'm not at school, I'm not with other people. This is my time to be myself and discover who I am. So while other people were like struggling during COVID, I was having like a whole paradise to myself, realizing that I could be who I wanted to be and that I didn't have to like go into that clique anymore and be with the people that didn't make me happy and made me fake who I wanted to be. And Ella shared a quote earlier and there was a quote that kind of sticks with mine. And it's by my favorite musician, Brian May. And he said, everybody thought I was a bit of an eccentric for wanting to be out there looking at the stars, but I still do. So people can think I'm weird. People can think I'm strange. People can think whatever they want of me. But in the end, now that I've grown from it, I want to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to let other people ruin it for me. because I shouldn't have to live in this world and be sad about who I am and have to be like someone else. Everyone should be able to live in the world the way that they want to. I think my biggest failure was to myself. I really ruined myself for a few years there, but I get to be myself now because I learned how to.
That sounds like my COVID experience, to be honest. It took me a little longer to get over it, though, because 7th grade, I was the target for bullying, guys. It was not it. I was like a foot shorter than everyone, at least. And so I got bullied so hard. So I tried to do whatever they were doing. I was like trying to be exactly like everyone else in my class. And so, like, I have the same experience. Yeah, I can totally relate to how you were feeling.
I think COVID was kind of the time where it like made or broke people. Like, it was the make or break year. You either like lost your entire personality or you learned more about yourself and you like developed a personality. And for me, it was developing my personality.
I think for me, I had to like break just a little bit to make myself into the person I really wanted to be. Because, you know, people say, like, isn't it a thing, like, when your bones break, they, like, grow back stronger, or something breaks and it grows back stronger or something? I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. Don't want to be either. but, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's a song, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. I just feel like you had to break a little bit to make yourself the person you want to be.
I agree, though. That's kind of something, like, I was going to touch on. No, because right before COVID happened, like, I got into a fight with one of my best friends. So all throughout COVID, I didn't have her as a support system. And it was, like, the stupidest fight you can possibly think of. It was over, like, a video game, and we were on, like, the voice chat, like, arguing. And we both came back to school, and we've talked about it since. And both of us were like, oh, yeah, like, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm just going to, like, whoa, and be like, oh, like, get away. And then she just, like, comes up to me, and she's like, we cool? I'm like, yeah, sure, like, whatever. And now it's, like, my best friend. So COVID was kind of the time where I got over myself and, like, decided that I didn't want to be like that anymore. I think that kind of shows, because we both really thought that fight was the dumbest thing we've ever done to date. It was really stupid. We have sworn to secrecy that we will not share what the fight was over, but it was over like a really stupid video game.
I have had fights like that.
I lost one of my friends because we wore the same color to homecoming, and we've like had this whole little fight about it, and it was so dumb.
Oh, yes.
Since my sophomore year of high school, I have not talked to this girl. I still follow each other on Instagram, like we still snap each other, right? Haven't talked though.
One of my major flexes is that I don't have like the "ew, you're copying me" friends. I have the "oh my gosh, we're matching" friends. It took me a while to find those people, but once I found them, I like have my fishy. I'm not letting it go. Everyone needs to know that it's so stupid to fight over that. It's
like, it was so dumb. And honestly, it kind of made me realize that like maybe I didn't want to be friends with someone who was so caught up on the fact that we both wore black to homecoming, which it's not like a fun color. It was black.
Getting mad over black is crazy. I thought it was going to be like blue or green or like a really bright, happy color. Black is, you can't trademark black. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to find the wrong people to lead you to the right people. So, you know, it all worked out.
Ella, you just summed up my entire story in like a sentence. So we're coming up to the end of our podcast, but I wanted to ask, has anything that you girls heard from each other inspired you, or has it made you have like another perspective on how people think failures can affect them?
So for me, Bella actually really inspired me. I also have struggled with math. It's me, I'm the problem, but also it's when you have a strained relationship with your teacher, it makes getting help a lot harder. And so she's inspired me to, even though me and my teacher kind of have like a rocky relationship, to reach out to her and let her know that I'm struggling, and in any other class that I end up maybe falling behind because I get sick a lot, guys. It's, yeah.
This has been an absolutely fantastic episode. I hope that you all have enjoyed hearing about growing through failure and got some helpful tips from our experiences. I know that I particularly loved hearing Lauren's story, and all about how she grew through what she considered to be a failure. And I think that the way that you handled it and the way that you said that you grew through it was really inspiring. So I appreciate you for sharing that. Thank you to all of our guests, Andy, Bella and Ella, and Lauren for coming on our podcast. And especially thank you to our listeners for listening in. Please subscribe or follow our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And tune in next month for another episode of Let's Talk About Leadership, Service, and Sisterhood, a podcast for teens by teens.